guys, and welcome to another Just Play podcast featuring obviously myself, Ryan Tricky, and my esteemed tennis coach and extraordinaire, Mr. Andy Aitken. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Very good, very good. We've had a today we've had a busy first day of club championships.
Ooh, are you playing yourself?
No, I'm not. We've got a weekend basically full of action, tennis action here in Swanage. And we've had 15 finals today. So out of a total, you know, it's been quite a few. We've had a ladies singles finals that went up to 2 hours and 40 minutes for a best of three sets with a third set tiebreak, championship tiebreak, instead of a full set. So that's pretty epic. So we've had a really good, good run of it today.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, cool. That's a long old final.
Exactly right. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, 2 hours, 40 minutes is, I have you ever played a match that's that long in that kind of set format?
No, I think when you're in the, I've probably played some long matches. I've never been sort of, again, like probably the people playing today. Probably, yeah, you're never aware of the time, are you? You just know you're in a bit of a tussle. Actually, having said that, have I ever been in a long match? I have. A very long match, which I probably should have alluded to straight away, but it didn't come to the top. It didn't come to the forefront of my mind, would you believe?
I can't honestly believe that.
I played quite a few long matches, one around 24 hours, one about 36, and then I just thought they weren't quite enough, so I just thought I'd go for 72 with this guy that I know. How about yourself?
Well, I'm much the same, really. You know, yeah, being with a guy, I played 24 hours, 36 hours?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and 72 hours. Wow. I mean, obviously, you know, we know how to play games, obviously. But anyway, moving swiftly on, we thought today's podcast would be really good to talk about committees. Now, it's quite a raw subject because obviously, you know, some people are very contentious about committees. Other people are very much, you know, it's a with or against sort of scenario, really. So I suppose let's first we'll talk about who do you have in your committee? What are their titles, first off?
So I think every committee is going to be ever so slightly different, but yeah. I think your generic committee is going to be obviously probably a president. That person's probably been at the club for quite a long time, might have previously been a chairman, a treasurer, but they are now held in quite high esteem. And a president's job really is just to oversee everything and to attend an AGM occasionally, as far as I see it. A chairman is obviously pretty much the person who is going to be overseeing all committee meetings, the AGM, and is going to be pretty much just having the final say on anything that might be contentious. When I say contentious, probably certainly speaking on behalf of myself, very rare that ever has to happen. And I think like most committees, it would go to a diplomatic vote anyway, or it would be taken to the AGM where obviously the members have the opportunity to vote. You then probably have a secretary who is probably going to be taking the minutes of any meetings, probably doing quite a lot of the legwork, actually, on behalf of that chairperson, should I say. So they're going to probably be, yeah, doing a lot of maybe admin. They might be trying to liaise with potentially a membership secretary, which is obviously another role. You've got your treasurer. You might have potentially, this is probably into roles that might be seen as possibly not needed, but probably quite useful, a fixture secretary. You might have possibly a social media manager. You might have a maintenance team, possibly. So you might have like a head, you know, if you've got grass courts, for example, or clay courts, there's going to be probably a bit of a maintenance team. And again, they're going to be probably volunteers. And that's probably all I can really think of. That you might have a junior representative, and probably a safeguarding lead as well. Sorry, that's probably a couple of the big ones that I've forgotten as well. So unless you can think of anything off the top of your head, they're probably the main ones.
Yeah, no, I think a couple off the top of my head, I suppose. Well, a council liaison officer. So if you are a council-owned club and you want to work with the council to, you know, you might be The club might be owned by the council, but you want to have good relations with the council. You might have a council liaison officer that basically meets up with that council representative just to keep updates and things like that with regards to facilities and updates, that type of stuff. Did you mention, I'm just thinking here out loud. You mentioned social media, chairman, you mentioned. I'm just thinking about ours actually. Social secretary. So it might be I mean, I think a lot of sports nowadays are based around that social side of the club. So I think, yeah, a social secretary for sure. I think they're quite important. But you mentioned obviously earlier that there's certain roles that maybe might be like contentious, as in not needed. I think, let's say, fixture secretary that you said, I think our fixture secretary is probably our backbone of our club, really. She does everything that is resolved to any of our fixtures, sets them all up, ensures that they are all the dates are all set. So, she's brilliant. Is there a case for subcommittees?
I think there is. We have quite a few subcommittees. So certainly where I am, there'll be like a finance subcommittee. There will be maybe a project lead one. So currently where I'm at, we are certainly looking at getting maybe controversially for a tennis podcast, paddle and pickleball courts at the moment. So I think there are breakout subgroups to allow the committee not necessary to meet too often. However, something we'll maybe discuss is how often committees should meet and subcommittees should meet and who should sit on those committees, etc. So I think for me, yeah, it's really, I don't know where I'm sort of going with that. I guess it's just trying to make sure roles are important, but not creating a role for the sake of it, if that makes sense. I think there are certain people that can be allocated to specific roles, like, a treasurer might be able to do certain roles and you won't need to be able to do it. A social secretary, I get that role, but I think that can probably be done amongst committee members to, organize a barbecue or an event at the club or maybe like a Christmas dance or whatever it may be. So, that's just my thoughts on it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think there's a case. I think there's definitely a case for all those. The most important, like I suppose, like four or five, isn't it? We kind of say chairman, secretary, membership secretary, treasurer. I mean, they're probably like your four main, aren't they? Really, and then outside of that, you have your other like committee members with subcommittees. So it's. I think they say somewhere between 8 and 12 is the kind of the figure of committee members these days. And I suppose is there in your committee like specific positions that tend to go into the committee just to voice an opinion, for example? Let's say they don't have necessarily a job role, but they would like to be on the committee. Is there such a thing as that in yours?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're delving into, I guess, specific committees and mine. I think we're obviously all going to have opinions on committees, and whether you're a tennis coach listening to this or you're a player. I think the idea of being on a committee is to have an impact, right? And you might want to be on that committee to have an impact verbally. So you are putting across what you think is quite a strong opinion and where you believe the club should be, going, or you might be potentially just a member who's going to voice that at an AGM and have very little impact. And when I say little impact, that sounds like it's very belittling and like a vote is not going to matter, but that is the idea of an AGM. Before you get to the AGM, an idea is presented by the committee and it's been discussed and it's been put forward. So I guess for you to really have an impact, you want to be on a committee, and that might be, as I said, verbally, or you might actually just be there to help the club run smoothly. So to look after the membership database, to have that interaction with other members or councils, or your I guess third party, so to speak, outside of the club. It might be sponsorship deals, whatever it may be. So yeah, I mean, it's probably a bit of an MP's answer to your question, because essentially I guess I'm not answering necessarily about my club, but I guess you and I speaking on behalf of tennis coaches, yeah, there are going to be very different prerogatives for committee members. They're going to want to do different things, and that's just essentially, it's opinion based, isn't it? People are just going to come on with different characteristics to voice an opinion and, yeah, put it forward, hopefully in the best way possible.
Yeah, I think, and with that, sometimes, committees can be like a bit too much, like too overrun, can't they, with people that, that effectively when you're kind of making decisions, if you've got more people in that room as a committee, there's more opinions that come out, rightly or wrongly, or whether that position is not titled in any way, they want to feel that they're making that difference. But also, I suppose it can make a counter intuitive idea, let's say, or decision to some things, and maybe potentially unnecessary. We've got to talk about it, so, they've got certain committees, you might have 16 people on it, other people might have 8 people on it, and it obviously just depends on each committee. But as we've kind of told the top four that you always need to have, and I think the other ones after that are just basically like growth for the club, aren't they? And just trying to think about ways of which, like, if you have an infrastructure, and I know you mentioned maintenance, but it might be an infrastructure officer or whatever you want to call it, but that they're thinking about the facilities and how they can grow the facilities going forward, and obviously having those projects. And I think it's important to have lots of people involved, but you want to have that committee being very active and involved in making the club as good as it can be, rather than kind of being there for our kind of opinion's sake, so to speak. You want to
Agreed.
be moving forward, you want to be thinking anything that comes through that you have, great goals and visions for the club, end game, so to speak. So how often do you think that, I mean, a committee normally would run, and sorry, committee meeting, sorry. And obviously we'll get to the next bit in a minute, but yeah.
So my opinion on this, essentially all of this, I guess what we'll talk about will be opinion. So anybody listening, please don't take this as gospel and go back to your committee and say Andy and Ryan on Just Play Podcasts, two established tennis coaches, said you should be doing this. We're definitely not saying that. My opinion on the matter would be that committee should probably meet about 3 times a year. So I think that is as a committee. And then subcommittees, so I guess I've got two parts to this. You would probably have 3 meetings of those, depending on certain subjects. So you might have financial meetings on membership and income, and that might happen 3 times a year. So in total, there are probably quite a lot of meetings happening during the year, but actually, when the whole committee come together to discuss certain topics, they need to just happen during those ones, would be my opinion. I know from my club's perspective, they meet roughly every 6 7 weeks, so give or take about 9 10 committee meetings a year. So I don't know, how about yourself?
Yeah, no, I think there's certain things from my opinion that, things need to be addressed quickly. And I suppose, let's just say you're trying to put a vote over the line for running a tournament or something like that. I suppose there's a pressing matter, and I suppose you need to maybe have a policy in place, whether you've got a WhatsApp committee group or, that you can just fast forward a poll and make a decision. Then, I'm well within your kind of vote, really. Ours, we normally meet every 2 months. So again, maybe every month, maybe a subcommittee, if needed, might meet up before the actual committee meeting. So we probably have like 6 meetings a year. I think that's quite good. I do agree with what they do there. And I think, like I say, we have a few subcommittees, but I think we could do with more. Just the kind of like social media, for example, the way of the world of progressing business or charities or organizations, it's definitely going through the realms of social media, and marketing and advertising and that sort of thing. So almost your social media and advertising marketing kind of publicity officer, so to speak, let's say, is almost one of your most important ones, I would say, now, because you're just trying to get your names out there and obviously outreach to people with various events and things that might draw in new members. So yeah, I think Like you say, each their own. We've got two different opinions there. You're 3 times a year. I'm maybe 6 times a year. Other coaches, if we spoke to them, or committees, might say otherwise. I mean, I think we, like you say, that some committees meet every month, don't they? And have their details that sort of set. So I suppose it depends on how your club runs, but we just want to try and get across the fact that, it's really important for the right people to be in the committee and the right positions to be there, and obviously willing to kind of move the club forward. Rather, is there a case to be said that sometimes, when you go to committee meetings, that maybe some things don't get put forward quick enough? I'm putting you on the spot there, but I mean, this is unscripted. We need to know answers, right?
No. I think things do get put forward. I think committees, from my experience and from knowledge of other tennis coaches, I think lots get discussed. Everyone can throw their 2 pennies worth in. And you can almost go round the subject so many times you don't actually get to a resolution. And that's why some committee meetings actually just go on for donkey's years. They can be 3 hours long potentially, and you might have 10 points on the agenda, right? And that is where a chair person will hopefully intervene and sort of say, look, we need to get to the point now, blah, 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 on whatever it may be. I think there are, and this is where I'm a firm believer of subcommittees, because essentially when you establish those, you as a committee are saying, right, those, three, four people, however many it may be on that subcommittee, you're trusting them that they're going to make decisions. And all they're doing coming back to committee is reporting on what's happened, and appreciate if there is I guess a higher value of conversation where it actually needs to be discussed and there needs to be a vote, that needs to be taken to committee. So if you and I were in a subcommittee for, tennis coaching and what the program looked like, and we were sitting down with say a chairperson in our subcommittee meeting, and as a coaching program, we were looking for 10 extra hours of court time, that probably needs to go to a committee, because that's quite a substantial amount of time that's potentially going to be taken away from members wanting to play. Whereas if we were looking for an hour on a Monday night, 9 till 10 p.m., I don't think that needs to go to committee, because you'd like to think that sort of time of day is actually where there are going to be very limited members playing at that time of night. So, but getting people in the right positions, I think is crucial. So I guess a question to you in terms of getting people and persons in the right positions, a big question coming to you. Although committee members and we are grateful for everything they do and their service that they provide, do you think committee members should go through some sort of interview or vetting process?
That's a really good question. I think,
It is.
I think sometimes committees will just like kind of like you say, they feel like they need to offer something to a club, and they feel they need to do their bit for the club. Let's put it that way. And sometimes that might be a vote. It might be an opinion, like you say. So I think first of all, like two parts to it. I think you have a job role, and I think that person. Yeah, in my opinion, maybe not necessarily interview, but like a chat with the chairman, loosely speaking. I don't think it needs to be put out there too much, like a job interview type of thing. But certainly, what they can bring to the committee, and maybe kind of creating that ethos of like, yeah, we're really a club that's ready to expand and progress. And what can you bring to the table? I think that's really good talks to have. Versus maybe how it might happen that somebody expresses their interest of just joining the committee, and then a friend says yeah, she wants to come on the committee, and they just all vote aye, and they're on the committee. And then before you know it's kind of you've got an extra member, and it's unsure of what their role is. So I think not necessarily an interview, but I think the positions of mega importance, kind of all more importance needs to be certainly a talk with the committee, chairman, secretary, whoever, would be really worthwhile having, because I think then the club knows what progress they're going to start seeing, if you know what I mean.
I think the reason why I sort of asked that question is, I think there are, like, and you raised such a good point in terms of people being on the committee. I think it's, people do, you get to your AGM, you put your list of personnels, and they're reapplying for another year, and everyone's like, yeah, I'll first that and I'll second it. And everyone's very happy to do that because, unless anything really goes wrong, from the outside, everyone's probably going to continue to do or want the club to do as it is, unless there's obviously something major that needs to potentially change. So I guess from a club's point of view, you can sit in a role for quite a long time. So if I was to look at the club that I work at, where I've been for, gosh, thinking about it now, it's going to be around about 12 and a half years, I think it is now. I look at the personnel that when I first joined, are there quite a few people in the same positions? Well, they are. And that's 12 and a half years later. Now they've either got quite stuck in their role and nobody wants to take it from them, or there's been no evolution from the club to say, actually, you know what, really appreciate the time that you've done. It's now time for some new blood and some new ideas. And I think that's probably where I'm getting to a little bit in terms of looking at committees. I think there needs to be a point of view, a sort of like an interaction with the chairman, like you say, or chairperson, apologies, but also to actually say, look, you are going to be in this role for a specific amount of time, unless there are circumstances that premeditate otherwise. If you're in the treasurer role and, there's a transition of bank accounts for the next 2 years, and you've done your 5 year stint, for example, then you probably want to have a handover period to somebody else in the club, and you may stay on for a little bit longer. That's just an example, and there might be you might be changing sites. So, I guess the question, sort of back off of your answer, is there a certain amount of time people should do, or should they stay on for as long as they want to until they get bored? Or I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's, yeah, again, it's good topics. So I think everybody that's kind of like listening to this are going to be part of a player kind of coach committee member, listening to this. I think, role wise, I think we've had people that are very good that have been brought into the club and obviously sustained their club role for a long time because they enjoy being it and they're very good at it and people obviously vote it. Maybe there's a tendency of somebody that maybe, is it fair to say that, a membership might just want their committee just to be a committee? Do you know what I mean? And just kind of vote them in because they're happy that they've got positions all filled and not necessarily worry about the, maybe bringing them on, bringing the club on. I think, from my part, we've definitely got a lot of committee members in our place that, I would certainly have year in, year out. If that makes sense, it would be more a case of when they decide that it's just not for them, if that makes sense. So rather than putting a time on it, I think it'd be more when the enthusiasm maybe goes from that committee member, then you kind of maybe have, you'd think they'd have a chat. Although you're kind of volunteering and putting your time and effort in, we want people to kind of constantly be thinking about how the club can move on. Rather than kind of staying stagnant and just ticking boxes, just to have like a committee position, so to speak. Question back to you. Is a head coach a managerial committee position, would you say?
I mean, it currently is. Is it?
According to what, though?
Yeah, like it. It depends what you define as a managerial position. Is it a
So
person? Go on,
I'm
sorry.
talking about, so if we talk about, we'll say the four positions of chairman, secretary, membership secretary, and treasurer are management positions because they have quite a big stake in how the club runs. So would the head coach be part of that role, do you think?
I'm gonna say yes and no, but it is depending on your circumstances at the club. I think if we rewind 20 to 30 years ago, there were probably more clubs employing coaches directly. Therefore, you should have a management position, whereas probably you and I, we run companies or sole trader companies, you could say, out of tennis clubs. Therefore, we are higher in the court, so to speak. So I don't think we should have management positions. We certainly will sit on committee and potentially have a vote, but that would be my opinion on it. I think probably not. I'd like to have a management position because I feel like we are, as coaches, more, I say more knowledgeable. We're in the industry 24/7, and it's our livelihood, and we've probably got our ear to the ground in terms of changes at clubs and, you know, what goes on at other tennis clubs more than, say, the clubs that we work at. But I think we also need to bear in mind, from a coach point of view, that actually these are members of the club, so they, in theory, are voicing their opinions on the club. So yeah, I guess we're not looking at it with like tunnel vision because we want our coaching programs to look good, but I think it's also, unless you're employed by the club, hopefully that's come across in a decent way. I think, yeah, you wouldn't have or shouldn't have that management position, but that's not to say you can't though.
No, so I think it is like on a, we'd probably say that it would be on a volunteer head coach basis that they would attend that committee meeting, based on it's effectively when you've got a coach sole trader company and you've got a tennis club together, they are separate entities, aren't they? It's more a case of whether the committee would like the sole trader company to be in on those committee meetings, or whether you have, let's say, a coach liaison officer that basically reports back on things that you have matters arising, for example, from a coaching standpoint. And that certainly happens, from our club. We have a coach liaison, and I would give my report, and then my report would be given to the committee, and then my whether it be I might put actions in my committee coaching report that might go towards the club. And then the coach liaison team would come back based on what I've put in my report, so to speak. So you might have an idea of, how infrastructure works or something like that. You could put that in your coach's report, and then a separate meeting happens. So
Yeah.
I suppose the main question here is very straight to the point, right? Committees useful or useless?
Bit of both needed is what I would say.
I mean, I've given you quite a cutthroat kind of two words, really.
Yeah, gosh, they are useful for the organization and running a club. In terms of uses, gosh, that could be a different topic. But again, it comes back to different clubs for different matters. And yeah, I wouldn't say they're necessarily useful, useless in terms of definition of an answer. I think they are needed.
Needed. Okay, I like it. And I would certainly agree. I think committees, without committees, effectively a club would run into the ground. So I definitely think they're useful. I think the direction that they take the club, and obviously how many people you have in there, is really important to make sure that committees, if we talk about 3 hour long, meetings, that so-called like meetings might happen. And I've certainly had those within clubs in over the years. You could certainly cut an hour of that with, going without going round in circles, so to speak. So I think we're both in the same agreement. They're very, very useful, and we need to just make sure that the club are moving forward all the time. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this kind of podcast. And for now, I think that was a good talk. What would you say?
Yeah, absolute pleasure as always.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll see you all again in the next one.
Thanks,
Take care,
guys.
guys. Thank you.
Show me love.